So I work for Northrop Grumman, and I have stock options with Northrop Grumman. So today we're going to talk about, give you a little background on the Medicare Fee-for-Service Physician Feedback Program. We're going to talk about the value-based payment modifier. That's sort of the root of it. And we're going to explain a little bit about the measures for cost and quality that are used. And then we're going to tell you a little bit about the reports that we're giving to physicians to help them use the information well. And then a little bit about what's coming up next. So, the Affordable Care Act directed the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services to provide information to physicians and groups about the resources used and the quality of care they provide to their patients. And to carry this out, we have the Physician Feedback Value-Based Payment Modifier Program, which we have now shortened to be to call Physician Value Program. So the major components of the program, obviously, are to produce the payment modifier, the value-based payment modifier that gives the physicians information on the quality and cost of care that they provide, and then the reports that we're giving to groups of 25 or more to help them understand more about what that looks like for them. And, of course, you all know the National Quality Strategy aims, and this program is definitely contributed to those, better care for individuals, better health for populations, and lower costs through improvement. So here are some of the implementation values that we have, encouraging quality measurement by aligning with the physician quality reporting system, offering a choice of quality measures for them to report on, encouraging shared responsibility, and then actionable information for physicians. So here's a list of the stakeholders, and you'll see there are many, including the public, and I would also add public health to this, particularly given the opening session. I know that's been mentioned a couple of times, but it really hit home to me that the chronic disease issues that we're all concerned about now, the goals of APHA going forward really are absolutely in line with this program and many other CMS programs. So what does Northrop Grumman do? CMS wanted us to make sure to let you know that they are calling the shots, of course, but we are supporting and partnering with them to do a lot of the work on this program. We're developing the quality use use reports, and we are also providing the value-based payment modifier. We are we put up a registration system for everybody to come on, and we also have a help desk along with our partner Mathematica, who is fantastic, and we're answering all the very complicated questions that people have about this program. So a little bit more about the value-based payment modifier. It provides for a differential payment to a physician group or physician or a group under the fee-for-service program about the cost and quality that they provide. And so beginning in 2015, this program is going to be in place for groups of 100 or more eligible professionals. So and it's based on your 2013 information, so that people needed to register by now, and the program will be effective in calendar year 2015. So groups needed to self-nominate or register by middle of October via three different ways to do it. And then those who do that will not have a negative effect. If you didn't register, you will have a negative effect in 2015 if you're a group of 100 or more. So here's how it works. You have a larger group, and then on the right side, if you didn't report or register, you actually have a downward adjustment in your payment for 2015 of 1%. And those dollars will actually go to the people who did register, and then the ones who, on the left side of the screen, if you elect quality tiering, you are taking a gamble to say, we think we're really good, we think we could actually get some extra dollars because we're really good. But if you take the gamble, you might actually get a negative adjustment as well. So We did have people who actually chose that option, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But if you decided not to elect that and you registered and you had the right information, you won't have any effect in 2015. And so here's a little bit about the quality tiering methodology. And it's basically a composite of information based on the value and then also based on cost. And you'll see the third box down is population health. I'm not sure how much is being used right now, but in the future, as we create more population health measures, there's definitely a possibility of those being used. And you'll see a little bit more detail in a minute. So here are the quality measures that are being used for the outcomes, and you'll see these are very relevant to public health. All-cause readmission, we know that's a huge factor that we're all trying to work on right now. Acute prevention quality indicators, definitely relevant. And then chronic disease, my goodness, definitely relevant, so all three. And then the cost measures, obviously, with the Million Hearts Initiative and all the things that we are doing in public health to try to work on these things, they're very relevant for what we're doing. And then these are all standardized and risk adjusted based on geographic and other factors. Oh, and I'll go back and say, well, I'll go here. So this program is budget neutral. So it's based on the people who didn't register and based on people who provide low quality and high cost services to their patients. So basically what happens is, you know, if people didn't register, they are on that, they have their negative 1% adjustment. And then they also look at those who didn't do as well. And this X factor here is, it's not 2%, but it's basically the dollars they have based on a budget neutral pool of dollars. So the dollars that they take from physicians who didn't do as well or didn't register, they will go to the high quality and low cost and average quality and low cost, as you see here in this matrix. So the actions for the larger groups this year were to participate as a group in the physician quality reporting system, to select an option, which they've done now, and to decide whether they want to do quality tiering or not. And then how is the data obtained? I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail here because you would fall asleep. but there's a lot of data integration that is involved here, and it's very complicated, and there's a lot of analytics that are involved to produce the data for CMS and for the physicians. And we also have a PV lab where the data is loaded and where we do that work. And so these are the eligible professionals who are part of the program this year, just to give you an idea. And a little bit more about the QRURs, Quality and Resource Use Reports. So these are physician feedback reports. I think I have one over there. If anybody wants to see it, I can show it to you afterwards. They're quite comprehensive. And they give physicians a whole lot of information about the comparative quality and cost of the work that they do. This year, we provided over 6,000 groups with 25 eligible professionals or more with information in reports, and it'll be a whole lot more in the next while as we have more people come on board. So these are some of the things that physicians can do with the information they have. They're pretty obvious, but the idea is to provide this actionable information to physicians. And it's not only this comprehensive report, but they can actually drill down quite deeply into the information that they have and learn from it. So a look ahead, I won't go into too much detail, but we have a point to the third quarter of 2014. We're actually going to be giving not the 6,000 plus, but 300,000 groups and individual practitioners will be receiving the information on their quality and cost through these reports so that they can start to make information and be educated about the program. So it's pretty exciting. So right now we have 4,880 registrants. We have 874 groups of 100 or more participating in the program, and about 18% of that have chosen quality tiering. So it's a great start. If we had everybody in the whole program, we'd have 15% of the entire United States in this program. So it can make a real difference, and we're very excited to be a part of it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mary. Are any questions at this moment? No, go ahead. Go ahead, Jenny.
An extra incentive based on risk and those exact factors that you're speaking of. For doctors who take on those types of patients that have a higher risk, there is an extra incentive for them, and you could get up to an extra factor of one if you are that kind of provider. And there are also some programs that are exempt, like certain critical access hospitals and regional hospitals that we just don't think are quite ready for this program, so they are not participating in the next few years in these programs.
Maybe ready is just that the criteria set.
Completely understand, right.
I can refer sometimes, you know, people, physicians used to graciously accept some patients from specialty care. They don't want to do it now because it's going to mess up their number, their bonus,
right,
or whatever. So I just want leveling the field so that it's fair in terms of these incentives or reimbursements, because you may have the unintended consequences of only signing up physicians who want to only have good patients, and if you don't look like a good patient,
very true. That's an excellent question. I think CMS has taken this into consideration. There's always more to do. Thank you.
So Jenny was referring to this situation that we are obviously seeing in the clinical world about adverse selection issues. Since this is about, and you stress this a number of times, Mary, about 100 patients or more in a group. What about small practices? What about public health departments? A lot of public health departments provide clinical services. How do they fit into this?
The smaller practices are going to start getting the information next year, and the goal is starting in 2017 for the smaller practices to be a part of this program. So they're trying to do the education now and hope to bring them on board as well.